Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you with a great Bible study, a short devotion. We're coming to you from Herb's House Coffee Shop here in Dallas, Texas, and we're just kind of at the Super Bowl of Bible devotions, Kent, right here. And we're in John chapter 2, and today we want to talk about the appointed hour. And in John chapter 2, Jesus performs his first public miracle. No doubt you're familiar with it, when he turns water into wine. And in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does that have to do with us? Now here it is, my hour has not yet come.'" Kent, I mean, God was so in control of the timing, the circumstances, of the entry of Jesus into the world, all that was taking place around his life. And God had already marked out the time of his death, which was the appointed hour. And this is repeated throughout John's gospel multiple times. My hour has not yet come. It's in John 7, John 8, John 12, John 13, John 16. Until finally you come to John 17, verse 1, and Jesus' great high priestly prayer. And he prays and he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you." And Jesus knew that the hour had now come for him to lay down his life, a ransom for many. Some people would think that the death of Christ was a situation that got out of hand, that it was a premature death, that he died as a martyr, that it was the crowd overtook the situation, but nothing could be further from the truth. That there was a specific moment, a specific time on the Passover when Jesus was to die on the cross and bear the sins of his people and his body and to shed his blood and to give his life to make an atonement, Kent, for our sins. And so it's of great comfort to know that God has everything under control. From a human perspective, if there was ever a moment that seemed to be out of control, if there was ever a moment in which it seemed like the chaos was ruling the moment, it was in the death of Christ, as that mob scene is crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate has the authority to put him to death. But from God's perspective, it was all planned. It was all orchestrated. He was delivered over, not by Pilate and not by the Jews, but by the hand of God. And so how intentional and how purposeful God is, even in the most difficult hours of our lives, he is in control over even our trials and our tribulations. He has appointed them for our good. That's why James 1, 2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Just knowing that God has a plan and a purpose, an appointed hour, even for our difficulties. And so all of our days are written in God's book when as yet there was not one of them. Even the day of our death, the hour of our passing from this world to the next, has already been prescripted by God. What comfort we should take from that. So, Kent, let's just talk about this, how Jesus knew that there was an appointed hour for him to die and to lay down his life, what confidence this gave him as he proceeded through the stages of his public ministry, attempts to even put him to death. We preached on that even this past Sunday.
Yeah.
And how Jesus just slipped through the crowd in Luke 4 because his hour had not yet come.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about all it, right, Kent.
For the first simple, very, very softball question.
Okay.
For the people like me that are slower.
No, Kent, yes, that's not true. You play fast.
The hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that just a time? Is that the exact minute? Is that the day? What is that term hour exactly mean?
Well, it actually does mean a designated moment,
okay,
in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you divide up a 24-hour period of time, day would be the 12 hours from sunrise to sunset, and night is from sunset to sunrise. And so the hour, there is a specific moment in the day, a specific hour, and Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. At high noon, it became dark as midnight,
mm-hmm,
as God covered the sun, and from noon until 3 o'clock, he suffered bearing our sins and making the atonement for our sins. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, "Father, receive my spirit." After he said, "It is finished," meaning the price had been paid for our sins. And so there was this designated, mm-hmm, moment, really at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when he yields his spirit and gives his life to make the atonement,
well,
for our sins.
I wonder if you could speak. You know what's jumping out at me?
Tell me.
Acts chapter 4.
Oh, I know what you're going to read it for us, Kent.
Well, I'm just sitting here. It just you've been talking about God's sovereignty,
yeah,
His providence in the exact time,
yeah,
and I think it was Peter and
well, it's verses 27 and 28. I'm sure is where you're headed. And
yeah,
it's the people pray.
Yes,
go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
And got it.
Well, then the disciples they've gotten in trouble. They're wondering if the message is going to be snuffed out.
Yeah.
Like, and so it seems to me like they just go back to this situation that God's sovereign.
Yeah.
To give them comfort.
Yeah.
And their prayers that, wait, let's look back on our Lord's crucifixion.
Yeah.
And if he was sovereign in that.
Yeah.
He's sovereign in this, and what did he say right? What did they say right there about with Herod and Pontius Pilate?
Yeah, well, verse 27. For truly,
yeah,
in this
there
city,
it is.
There were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. Here's the knockout punch,
yeah,
verse,
yeah,
28. To do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur.
So they were just tools.
Yeah.
They were just,
yeah,
God was just using them.
God's just pulling the strings behind the scene. They're carrying out his eternal purpose and plan.
Yeah.
And Peter had preached that on the day of Pentecost also in chapter 2, verse 23, that you put him to death according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God.
Yeah.
So they took great comfort. These are the believers who are praying this. It also speaks to how well they had been taught,
yeah,
by Christ, mm-hmm, as well as by Peter and the other apostles,
yeah,
especially,
yeah. Yeah,
that they took great comfort in the sovereignty of God, and they even used the P word,
yeah,
predestined.
Yeah, they did.
Without hesitation or blushing, it really was an anchor for their soul. And you and I need an anchor for our soul. And there is no greater anchor for our soul than the sovereignty of God over all of the affairs of our lives, that he is causing all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so I trust that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have great confidence in the sovereign will and purposes of God. His timing is perfect in your life. And if he was in control of what appeared to be the worst hour of, mm-hmm, human history,
amen,
How much more so is he in control of our little lives? So may God greatly encourage you this day with this glorious truth. And let's live our lives to the fullest, knowing that our hour has not yet come, the hour of our death. As long as we're here, there's a purpose and a reason for us to glorify God by the way that we carry out the affairs of our lives. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.